This is the Friday, August 10, 2018 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. The WASD provided an end-of-the-week bombshell that obscured earlier reports of tighter European and South American production. For the week, September wheat lost a dime, while the nearby corn contract fell 12 cents. The August WASD cut the legs from under the soy complex in the final session as the September contract plummeted 41 cents. September meal dropped $8.90 per ton. December cotton shrank $2.89 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, September Class 3 milk futures bounced 42 cents higher. The livestock sector was mixed as the October cattle contract lost $2.75. September feeders shed $3.50 and the October lean hog contract put on 40 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index skyrocketed 126 ticks. Crude oil dropped 85 cents per barrel. COMEX gold fell 4.20 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index lost more than 3 points to settle at 458.50. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Tom Fitzenmyer. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Lanny.
Tom, we certainly have a lot to talk about this week with the WASD report coming out here Friday. Let's start with the wheat markets. The USDA lowered EU crop, but didn't lower world production supply overall. Why?
I'm not sure why. I think that's yet to come. We dropped pretty hard on Friday, but I would guess it'll bounce back for the very reasons you're talking about. They didn't do that, but I don't think there's anybody in the trade that doesn't believe they're going to have to eventually. You take the between the European and the Black Sea region and the mess they've got in Australia. Mm-hmm. Eventually, that's. I think one of the concerns is that it hasn't translated to big export sales for the U.S. And I think there's an expectation that eventually that's going to happen. Although the other problem with wheat, when you start getting a couple bucks above corn, you start losing some of that feed demand, starts switching back to corn, which is a benefit to the feed side on the corn. But it's sort of a limiting factor in the wheat market. Again, we had a good break Friday. I'm guessing we'll stabilize probably early next week.
Okay. Were you surprised by USDA raising Russian wheat crop?
Yeah, I think everybody was. I that's all we've been hearing about is the problems they were having over there. So, yeah, there were several things in the report that I think were a bit confusing and had people kind of sitting up in their chairs about 11:05 on Friday morning.
Absolutely. I want to ask a quick social media question before we move on to talk about corn WASD report. We've got Neil Harris. He sent in a great question on Facebook. With lower wheat production and bad weather around the world, will wheat lead all markets higher? And if it does, how long will the markets rally? I think that's really important here.
It already has led. It is the leader. Like I said, we're a couple bucks above corn. Having said all that, I think your upside potential probably isn't much higher than the high sixes in wheat, if that. So, you know, you start getting those kind of wheat prices up there, I think you need to be pretty aggressively marketing. Because, like I said, our export sales haven't really fought along. So we kind of need that component to get going before we can go a lot higher, mm-hmm. I think.
Absolutely. All right, I want to transition here to corn. The USDA came in much higher than the average trade guess with yield, and they also did change ending stocks, but they weren't that much higher than the average trade guess. Why was that?
Why wasn't the carryout much different?
Yes. I mean,
well, they did bump the demand a little bit, mm-hmm. so that was part of it. I don't know. I thought it was came in a fair. I thought the production number was quite a bit higher than the USDA came up with. But like I said, they offset it with demand numbers. They increased their export estimate. I think they increased the ethanol usage, increased feed usage. Like I said, I think that came from the wheat switching back to the corn. We're talking new crop because the old crop, they didn't change anything. Mm-hmm. In that. So, yeah, I think we're up, the carryout was increased like 132, 136 million bushels, something like that, the net of the production minus the demand adjustments.
With that higher yield number, I think it was 178.4, somewhere
correct.
Right in there.
Correct.
That's the highest number on record for the U.S. Are you concerned that we're going to have too much? I mean, they said, you know, ending stocks. Are you concerned we're not going to be able to chew through that amount of corn or higher production?
Well, here's the dilemma. say they're a little off on their demand. Maybe demand's a little better than they said, and it carryout's 1.6 instead of 1.684 or whatever they came up with. The problem is that I see is going forward, because with beans, with corn prices relative where beans are, I think the U.S. farmer's going to plant the daylights out of corn next year at the expense of wheat acres. And so 1.6 carryout is tighter than we're used to. It's 400 million less than we had last year. But if we have that kind of an increase in acreage, I don't know. We could be right back up to having a lot of problems chewing through corn. Now, demand for corn's been good. We have the cheapest feed grain actually in the world, even including wheat. So I think the demand's going to be quite good for it. Ethanol demand's quite strong, but it's going to be hard to work our way through that. And some of that's already been anticipated. I mean, the increase in demand. So I think corn prices are going to struggle. You get December corn up toward $4, and that's probably about it. And you better, if you get a good pop up into December of 19 corn, and you're one of those that are planning on increasing their corn acres next year, you better start getting some of that sold.
Okay. Since you opened the door for acreage discussion, you said switching over from wheat acres to corn. Do you think some of those soybean acres are going to transition to corn, wheat, cotton, some of those specialty crops because of all the trade stuff? And the WASDE report was fairly bullish or bearish, excuse me, for the soybean market.
Yeah, I mean, why would you produce beans when corn prices are so strong relative to bean prices? The other problem for the bean market is that with Brazilian bean prices running, what, $1.80 to $2 above the U.S., the Brazilian producers are incentivized like crazy to plant beans next year. And you have to assume that the Argentina crop is probably going to go back to more normal, and they're not going to have the mess that they had this past year. So you got a bunch of beans getting dumped on the world market again. With the Chinese demand going to South America and away from us, hopefully that'll get worked out, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon.
Absolutely. I want to ask you one more quick corn question before we move on to soybeans. Going back to the yield a little bit here from the USDA, is this yield going to come down because of the fast pace of corn maturity that we're seeing this year?
That's the theory. That's what all the bulls tell. That's what the farmers tell me, that there's no way we can have a good crop when it's maturing this fast. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's the slow maturity is kind of what some people think surprised us on the upside on yield last year. And so the theory is that since it's faster this year, the yield, we're not capable of having decent yields. And I'm not sure I've totally buy into that yet. You know, we've got the several crop tours coming up over the next three weeks.
Do.
I think maybe that'll tell us a little more than, I mean, the USDA data was taken a week ago. So that's almost a little bit on the old side.
Okay, maybe old news. Let's transition here to the soybeans. They had a big day on Friday, losing 40, 41 cents. Pretty bearish report. Ending stocks, more than 205 million bushels increase. Why did we see such a large increase in those numbers?
Yield. They bumped yield. And they if you sit and think about it, if they gather that data last week, what the heck were they going to look at in a bean field last week that would tell them anything about yield? Nothing. So the only basically thing they had to go by was the crop condition rating, and the crop condition rating substantially above a year ago. So you almost had to bump the yield in line with that crop condition rating versus a year ago. So that's where it all came. They made some minor little adjustments to crush and exports, but basically it was that big jump in the yield. And that pumped, I mean, 785 million bushel carryout for next year, that's a heck of a lot of beans.
Why didn't they increase the demand more than 35 million bushels?
Well, I don't think they know what it's going to be. I mean, how do you? The China thing gets worked out. That's a different scenario. We've had pretty good demand from other than China buyers. But has that just been bargain hunting? Has that just been, you know, because we're cheap and they're front-end loading, trying to get some bargains locked in, and later on that's going to sort of diminish? So there's a lot of unknowns on the demand side, and I think they just said, well, we're just going to bump it a little bit and see what happens in the next 30 days for the next report.
So with all that being said, we had a large sell-off on Friday. Do you think we're going to stabilize at these prices, or do we have further downside risk?
Oh, no, we've got further downside risk. I think you'll go back and retest that July low on November beans around 826, something mm-hmm. like that. I think they could even overdo it and nudge it down toward $8 before it's totally washed out. So, there's this pretty strong tendency when you have this negative a reaction to an August report for that to carry through fairly well into the following week. So, if they whack it hard for a couple, 3 days and next week, then I'd probably lose my enthusiasm mm-hmm. for being so bearish the bean market. And the weather hasn't really been what you'd call ideal for soybean production. There's a lot of areas that are lacking in rainfall, and mm-hmm. and I guess then we'll have to see if we can start to maybe rebuild a little bit.
Absolutely. Tom, really quick, your quick thoughts. With that being said, what strategies should producers be looking at in the bean markets?
Oh, I think, again, you get November beans up in that $9 to $9.25 range. If we could possibly do that, then I think you have to be a seller of new crop. Most farmers are done with old crop selling. There's not a lot of that around. The problem is going to be basis. I think the basis has just been terrible, and I'm having trouble believing that that's going to. And I know the theory is as prices go down, basis tightens up, mm-hmm. and historically that's kind of the way it works. I guess I'm not sure that's the way it's going to work this year.
Okay. Live cattle cash prices, where are we headed from here?
I think you're going to get bounces, but I think you're going to struggle with that. It's difficult to compete against pork as cheap as it is.
Absolutely.
Poultry as cheap as it is. And I know the economy's good. People have got a little money rattling around in their pockets. And that's part of the reason the demand has held up as well as it has the beef. But we've got more numbers coming at us. And I think you get back up toward this past week's highs, and you probably need to be a seller of cattle again.
Okay. What are your quick thoughts here on the feeders? Have we put in a summer high for our August feeders?
I don't know if that's necessarily true. That market tends to be driven quite a bit by feed costs, and feed costs are obviously down quite a mm-hmm. bit with corn as cheap as it is. So I think those are going to hold on up fairly well. And again, I think the beef fat price is probably going to hang in there for a while. I don't see it falling apart, but I just would sell rallies, I guess.
I'm going to squeeze in one more quick social media question here because we don't often get them for hogs. Evan wants to know, are hogs near the bottom due to their extreme discount to the cash, or will we see lower prices moving into the fourth quarter?
I'd like to think they're near the bottom. You get those December hogs down in the low 40s, and it's hard to believe there's a lot of downside from that level. Now, the upside may not be above 50 to 52. But I have no interest in being bearish on hogs down in those lower 40s. And I'm not saying some washout or some terrible thing couldn't happen that maybe go a little lower than that, but I wouldn't want to chase that. And you certainly could see a nice bounce back in that market.
Is now a good time to be looking at some strategies if you are a hog producer?
I think to look at them, I wouldn't implement anything until you get up above 50 on the December contract for the fourth quarter.
Okay. Tom Fitzmaier, we're going to wrap up this discussion. We're going to continue that discussion with cotton and other commodity questions in Market Plus. So thank you so much for your time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Blaney.